Well, top of the morning to you, brethren. Certainly is nice to be here with you on a very beautiful, sunshiny Sabbath day. Special welcome to our visitors that are here. It's always great to have company. Very, very nice thing to have here. So I'd like to begin today by turning to the book of Revelation, if you would. Let's start there. Revelation chapter 13, if you would. And beginning in verse 15, Revelation 13, verse 15. And it says here, he. Now, who is he? He, in this particular verse, is speaking of the second beast. We know that there are two beasts that are talked about here in Revelation. There's a civil leader. And then there is a religious leader. And so this is talking about the second beast, the religious leader. And so this person was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and caused. This caused is a very important word here. Caused as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he, same beast, second beast, causes. Notice it says it causes. This person, this entity, doesn't do the thing. He causes the thing, causes something bad to happen, causes all, both small, great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast. We don't know the name of the beast or the number of his name. And elsewhere in the Bible there it tells us that his number is 666. You can find that in Revelation 13, that same chapter, but in verse 6. So I just would like to key in today on this mark of the beast. If you go to Revelation 20, in verse 2, if you would. We're not going to have enough time there, but note there in your notes, Revelation 20 and in verse 2, here it talks a little bit more about this second beast. It tells us there that it has two horns, and it looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. And so the lamb here, we know, is a symbol for Christ. He was the Lamb of God, wasn't he? And a dragon is a symbol here for Satan. Just another word for Satan. So this second beast here that they're talking about is a false church masquerading as the true church. But it's really backed by Satan, the devil. And so I've titled this message today, The Mark of the Beast. I remember back in the 1970s when God called Regina and I and me into his truth. And we attended the Akron, actually it was the Church of God there in Dayton, Ohio back then, Worldwide Church of God. And many people back then, it was something around 1975, 76, 77, they were talking about this mark of the beast. And Regina and I were new to the truth. We didn't really understand what this thing was. But it was a big topic back then. It's probably a big topic today, too. But some thought it was a Social Security number back then. You know, you have to have a Social Security number in order to hold a job, right? Isn't that correct? I have a Social Security number, so do you. Or at least most of us do. So they thought that that was the mark of the beast. And then the 80s came around, the early 80s, and people thought, well, this credit card must be the mark of the beast. Because, you know, almost everyone has a credit card to pay your bills, has a number on it, has all these things that people think about when they think of the mark of the beast. Does anybody in here not have a credit card that holds a job? I think just about everybody Gary, I know you do, don't. We all have a credit card, but some people thought that this credit card, see, was the mark of the beast. Others thought back then too, mid-80s, that the tattoo, you know, was the mark of the beast. Nowadays, people believe that there's some type of a microchip that could be embedded beneath the skin, and they think that that would be the mark of the beast. And some believe, too, that it's COVID-19 vaccinations. That some people believe that the COVID vaccination is the mark of the beast. They think that when you some type of fluid is injected into your body somehow, and you walk into a door, and the merchant sees that it shows a green light there in his office, and it says, okay, well, this guy right here is... he's got this vaccine, so he's okay to come in and buy and sell our food and whatever they want to do. But I ask you here now, are all of these the mark of the beast? Or is it somebody's imagination? See, it's very important. And I'll tell you why this is so important, is because our spiritual life depends on whether we accept this mark of the beast or we reject it. And so it's very, very important that we know that we know what this mark of the beast could entail. Before I get into this message here, and I guess I should have asked Mr. Mills for some extra time here, a minute or two, I'd like to go over with four important words with you today that I think sometimes people mix these words up in their conversations with others. They mix them up, and it's important that we know what these four words mean. The first word is symbol. S-Y-M-B-O-L. What is a symbol? It's important that we know what a symbol is. The Bible uses symbols from Genesis through Revelation. They're just all over the Bible, especially the book of Daniel, and also Revelation, the book that we were just in right here. So, the other thing we have to remember about symbols is that the Bible interprets its own symbols. I can't put my interpretation in the symbols that are in the Bible. You have to let the Bible tell you what that is. So, for example, you have the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I think everybody knows about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I think mainstream Christians out there are still confused about the very first horse, that white horse. They think that's Christ. And it's not Christ. Christ himself interpreted this in Matthew 24. We don't have time to go there, but please write it down. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 3 through 7. He's the only one authorized to open these seals. See? I can't do that. But each one of these horses represents, see, it's a symbol. It represents some event or something that's going to happen. Also, the Bible calls Satan a serpent, another symbol. So there's plenty of symbols in there. We need to know what the word symbol means. The second word is mark. Quote, mark, M-A-R-K. What's a mark? Well, a mark is a symbol. And a mark is used to identify a person, an animal, a thing. For example, a cattle rancher, he marks his cows with some type of symbol that represents him. He's the owner of these cows. So he marks them with some type of symbol. It could be a square, rectangle, circle, a number of some type, a name. And it's used to identify his cows. That's my cow right there. And so a mark, though, is usually something that's bad. Normally bad. Because God marked Cain, didn't he? Let's go to Genesis. This one I want to go to. Genesis 4, And in verse 15, God himself put a mark on Cain. And a mark, I want you to remember, is not necessarily good. But it is a symbol. It's a symbol. Genesis 4, and then in verse 15. And the Lord said to him, said to who? Cain. Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. See here, Cain disobeyed God that one day. He offered an offering to God that God did not want. It didn't fulfill God's purposes, see? And so God marked Cain. And it continues here, and the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So you see, a mark is something that we need to know. Sometimes people use these words, they mix them up, and that just causes confusion. We know that God is not the author of confusion, but of love and peace. The third word, let's go to that, is the word sign. Is the word sign. What's a sign? You know what? A sign is also a symbol. It's a symbol used to identify someone, something. For example, John puts a sign in front of his furniture store that says, John's Furniture Store. It identifies John and his furniture. A sign is usually good. It's a good sign. For example, isn't the Sabbath here a sign? It's a sign between God and his people. Something good. It identifies God's people. We're here on the Sabbath day. It's a sign. It identifies us as God's people. It's a good sign because we obey God, especially on this day. We obey God on this day. It's not necessarily forced. You have to want to come here to Sabbath services or wherever you're at there. And so what's the difference between a mark and a sign? A mark sometimes can be bad. A sign is usually good. Something good. It's not forced on anybody. And here's the fourth word, beast. What is a beast? You know what? It's a symbol too. The word beast is a symbol. We don't have time to turn there, but write the scripture down if you would, annotate it. Daniel 7 and in verse 4. God, through Daniel the prophet, labeled four world-ruling civil governments as beasts. You know what they are. Babylon, Persia, Greco-Macedonian, the Roman Empire. He labeled them as beasts. And later on in another book, I think, or may even be in the same book, these same wild animals are the lion, the bear, the leopard, and also a very ferocious, terrifically bad animal, dreadful. And he has iron teeth and so on. And so the mark of the beast is associated with this fourth world ruling beast, this empire. It's associated with that normally. And so now let's get into this mark of the beast. The mark of the beast also has two symbols. We know what the mark is, something not good. And also is associated with two other symbols that we just read about there in Revelation 13. The first is the right hand. Right here, the right hand. And the second one is the forehead. Your forehead, my forehead. And of course, these symbols could be taken literally. The actual right hand. The actual forehead. Or they can also be taken symbolically to mean something. I think Moses, in, let's go there, Deuteronomy 6 and in verse 6, gives us a good example of the mark of the beast as being taken symbolically. Symbolically. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind. Bind means to tie, to write them as a sign. See, the sign. We know what a sign is now. On your hand. And they shall be as frontlets. Other translation also has the word forehead here, between your eyes. Did Israel write God's laws, his commandments, on their right hand? Did they actually do that? No, they never did that. They never wrote them actually on the right hand. Did they put them on their forehead? Did they put them up here on their forehead so everybody could see them? No, they did not. So see, it's taken symbolically. It means something else. Also in Revelation 7, let's go there, and in verse 3, this is the Apostle John, Revelation 7, 3. John states that God's servants were sealed on their forehead. Do not harm the earth, the sea, the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their forehead. And this is speaking of their 144,000. Did they actually have, were they actually sealed somehow on their forehead? I mean, just some kind of a sign there on their foreheads? No, it's symbolic. The hand and the forehead here, when we talk about the mark of the beast, are symbols. The hand symbolizes somebody's actions. Somebody doing work. Labor. They use the right hand, if they're right-handed, to accomplish something. Did you know that 92% of the world's population, in totality, the entire world, is right-handed? Look it up. Google it. 92% of the world's population is right-handed. 92% of the work is done on this earth using the right hand. Only 8% are left-handed. Very small number compared to 92%. How many people are in the world? 8 billion? I don't know how many. 8, 9 billion? But, you know, it's something to think about. And the forehead here is a symbol. What's it a symbol of? It's a symbol of the mind, of the intellect that people have, what we think, what we believe here in our minds. And so the mark of the beast here has to do with the actions, work, habits. And it also has to do with what we believe. So I think it's very important that we understand that these are symbols, and symbols is a very, very big topic here in the Bible. Now, in his Ten Commandments, God tells us, there's Ten Commandments, he tells us to rest. Don't do anything. No, do any servile work at all on this particular commandment. And he also tells us to believe and do what he says. It's for our own good. So we have to believe on our minds here. We have to believe our foreheads. We have to believe what God tells us. Our intellect. And so this mark of the beast here, brethren, has to do with total disobedience to God. Because if you break one commandment, you broke all of them. Every single one. So it has to do, this mark of the beast has to do with not being together with God, breaking his commandments. There's only one commandment's considered the test, isn't it? Which one is the test? There's only one commandment that's rejected by the people out there. Didn't they reject this day that you and I are keeping? How about the Muslims, the Eastern religions, all the modern day Christianities that we have? Did they not reject the Sabbath? They did. There's only one commandment that has to do with holding a job. I don't know how many jobs I lost trying to bring up a family and getting fired for not coming to work on Saturday. I got fired so many times. Good jobs. They want you to work there on Saturday. And I said, I'm not doing it. There's one commandment that identifies God's people. One commandment. There's one commandment that's a sign. No other commandment is a sign. This one is. You know what I'm talking about. You're very well aware of the Ten Commandments. Let's read a little bit about this in Exodus 31. Exodus 31, very beautiful day this is that we, you and I, as God's people, are identified by. Exodus 31, let's see what God says in here. And God does things for our own benefit. It's for us. It's not for Him. He doesn't need rest. He rests for us. He wants to be a model for us. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths, all of them, shall you keep. For it is what? A sign. We know what a sign is. Between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Eternal, your God, who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, for it is what? Holy, holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Eternal. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. And this is speaking of a spiritual death, because we all die physically. This is spiritual. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual, ongoing, continual covenant. It is a sign, something good, between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. It's interesting here. God, on the one hand, makes the Sabbath rest as a sign. On the other hand, Satan chose the Sabbath to mark the people, to identify the ones who are for God. Same day. One is a sign, the other one calls it a mark. Now, I want you to remember this because I think it's very important. Back around 363 AD, at the Council of Laodicea, under the direction of Rome, a Roman emperor called Constantine, he passed a decree. I'm going to read this to you, and you can Google it. You can Google this. He says Christians must not Judaize by resting on the Sabbath, but must work on that day. Resting, on Sunday. But if any be found Judaizing, let them be declared anathema from Christ, a heretic. That's what anathema means. It's a heretic. Roman laws there back then, you couldn't buy or sell. You couldn't hold a job unless you worked on Saturday. Same today. I lost so many jobs trying to feed the family and try to keep God's laws and His commandments. This mark of the beast is going to be enforced. sometime in the future. Be looking for it. Now, when the Roman Church declared these people as heretics, it's the Roman civil government that killed them. That's why I said the second beast caused. He didn't do it. He caused it to do it. He caused that Roman government to actually kill these people who wouldn't bow down, who wouldn't work on the Sabbath, who wanted to keep God's laws. Let's read about them in Revelation. This will be the last scripture, Revelation 6, and in verse 9, what happened to these people who were trying to do what God tells them to do? What did they do? What happened to them? They observed the Sabbath day. Revelation 6, verse 9, when he, and this is he is capitalized here, it's Christ, opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, keeping God's laws. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were, was completed. These people were killed. The church didn't kill them, the Catholic Church. They caused them to be killed. It's the Roman government that killed them. We don't know what other kind of methods are out there, brethren. But our job is to make sure that we do what God tells us to do. Be on the lookout for this mark. It's very important. If you accept it, if you accept this mark, then you'll be able to buy and sell, feed your family. But you know what? You'll be able, you will suffer God's seven last plagues. If you reject this mark of the beast, then you may lose your physical life. But you know what? You will gain everlasting life with God the Father and His Son, Jesus the Christ. Let's be prepared to reject this mark. Let's not be fooled by it.